for them, I would not want to do that. By the way, I've heard that before. You watch the videos, you see the testimonies, and honestly, again, we're just human. We honestly say, boy, that's awesome. I would never want to do that. I could never do that. Here's what I'm getting at this morning. As believers, and understand that God is never going to use and abuse you, all right? We abuse ourselves sometimes. God's never going to use and abuse you. But listen, God created us for a purpose to be used to the fullest extent. And we ought to intentionally, as believers, not shy away from being used, but intentionally, as believers, we want to make sure that, and just even from a health point, from a physical standpoint, we want to make sure that we take care of these bodies so that God can use us as long as He can use us. We want to make sure we take care of ourselves spiritually so that we are filled with the Spirit. We are sensitive to the Holy Spirit to make sure God can use us to the fullest extent. I don't know if He's going to call you to be a missionary. I don't know if He's going to call you to be in full-time ministry. I don't know if He's going to call you to be at a secular job where your pastor could never go and lead someone to Christ. I don't know what He's going to do. All I know is as believers, we ought to want to be fully used to the fullest extent so that when our life is over, we can honestly say, I allowed God to use this to the fullest extent. Now here's why I take you to Hebrews chapter 10. We have a situation here where there are some believers who have trusted Christ, but persecution has come. Now listen, when we trust Christ and everything is fine, and everyone is proud of us, and everyone is glad for us, and everyone is kind to us, it's wonderful and easy being a Christian. But then persecution comes. Then the rough times come, and that's what's happened to these believers. Persecution has come. And they are tempted to turn back just to religion. They're tempted to turn back to Judaism. They're tempted to turn back to something that was a works-based salvation. And the writer here, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, the writer here is telling them and exhorting them. He's saying, listen, don't turn back to that. I know it's difficult, I know it's rough, but don't do that. You know better than that. There's something better for you than that. And throughout this letter, he's talking, Jesus is the whole theme of this letter. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Jesus, he keeps focusing on that. And in Hebrews chapter 10, as he's exhorting them, we're going to pick up in just a moment about verse 33, but let me just kind of give you the layout. Hebrews chapter 10, he's exhorting them to hold fast the profession of faith, to be faithful. But then he kind of lays it on them. And about verse number 26, he says, if we sin willfully, I mean, he lays it on them here in these few verses. He says, listen, you know better. And so if you willfully, knowing better, turn away from the Lord and do the opposite of what God is telling you to do, there's going to be a price to pay. He gives us that verse. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But I want you to notice what he says down in verse number, let's pick up verse 32. He says, but call to remembrance the former days. He said, I want you to look back when you first got saved, in which after ye were illuminated or enlightened, after God turned the light bulb on for you, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, a spectacle, both by reproaches and afflictions. In other words, everyone made you a spectacle. They reproached you. They afflicted you. They mocked you. And you endured it. And partly, watch this, whilst you became companions of them that were so used. The word used there, it speaks of a lifestyle. It means that there were those who had accepted this lifestyle of being so used by God that it would involve some sacrifice, it would involve some afflictions, it would involve some difficulties, but there were these people who had accepted that lifestyle, and those that got saved became companions of them, became partners with them. Here's what I'm getting at this morning. As you think about missionaries and you think about their sacrifice and you think about how they've been used, listen, missionaries don't come just for you to admire them and be impressed by them and be thankful for them. They come so that you will be companions with them. They come so you will be partners with them. They come so that you will say, listen, the way you've sacrificed, I'm going to sacrifice in some way. The way you have given up something, I'm going to give up something in some way. The way you have allowed God to use you has motivated me, and I want to be a partner with you in that. I want to be used so that together we can reach the world for Christ. Amen. So this morning, for just a few moments, I want you to focus on that, the thought of just being used. I want that to be the meditating thought on your heart for this Sunday school time. It's just to think about being used, and we're going to break this down. I'm going to give four things to write down this morning if you're taking notes. And I want you to notice how this comes in and how the author encourages them just to be used by God. First of all, if you're taking notes, I would ask you to write this down this morning. I want you to think about being willfully used. Willfully used. Being willfully used. Now, I want you to notice he said there in verse number 32 and 33, he's saying, call to remembrance. You were enlightened. And he's saying, basically, you chose to be used like they were used. Now, I say willfully used because earlier we read the verse. He said, if we willfully sin. Now, think about this. Isn't it amazing how willing we are to sin? We're very willing to covet. We're very willing to lust. We're very willing to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But when Jesus comes knocking at the door, we got to hesitate. We got to pray about it. We got to think through this thing. I mean, we got to contemplate it. And it ought to be the opposite. That when temptation comes, we stop and we say, I don't know about that. I don't know about missing church. Man, I don't know about watching that. I don't know about going there. I've got to think about that. I've got to ask God about that. But then when God comes knocking at their door, it ought to be, Lord, I'm willing, whatever, absolutely. Amen. You want me to give it, I'll give it. You want me to go, I'll go. You want me to do it, I'll do it. You want me to tell him, I'll tell him. Willfully used. I love the old song that Rodney Griffin from Greater Vision actually wrote the words to the song. He said, Lord, give me the spirit of brokenness like you gave when I first called your name, and replace all my pride with humility. Lord, a broken, willing vessel I'll be. I remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 20, the apostles, they said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen, something had happened to them. Something had so changed them. Something had so impacted them that they could not help. They were so willing to do something for Jesus. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, when Paul is talking about preaching. Listen to what he says. He said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now listen to what he says. For if I do this thing willingly, I have reward. But if against my will, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if I do this willingly, God's going to bless me for it. But even if I'm not willing to do it, I still have the responsibility to do it. You understand this morning that even if you and I are not willing, the responsibility is still there. I mean, growing up, I had some responsibilities I was given. I was not always willing to do it. Guess what Dad said? You still got to do it. You still have the responsibility. And if you don't do it and you choose to neglect it, guess what? There's going to be some regrets. Listen, I'm so glad to tell you this morning. Listen, if you know Christ as your Savior, I'm so glad to tell you, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen, you neglect the responsibility God has given you, you're still going to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it all. But all to Him I owe. And here's the kicker. When we get to heaven, I believe there'll be some regrets. There'll be some regrets. I believe there'll be some tears. I believe the Bible says Jesus will wipe away all those tears, so we won't cry for all eternity. But I believe there will be some tears, there will be some regrets initially of what we neglected to do. So we start by trying to be willfully used. I want to be willing to do this. But then secondly, notice in verse number 34. He said, "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds." And notice what he says, "and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." Write this down, number two this morning. Let me talk to you about being joyfully used. Not just willfully used, and not necessarily forcefully used, but joyfully used. Now, he's talking about the spoiling of their goods. What he's saying is that when persecution came, they lost things. Things were taken from them. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I wonder how many believers at one time or another, even a young person this morning, you have felt like God took something from you. And that was very unfair. God, how could you do that? Now listen, don't try to figure out God, okay? God allows this sin-cursed world to take its course. There's a lot of bad things that happen, not because God said, "I want that bad thing to happen." God is letting sin take its course. It's a consequence of sin. God sometimes intervenes. But folks, we as believers, we lose things sometimes. We give up things. And he said, listen, you took it at one time. You took it joyfully. What does he mean by that? He's saying that when they lost those things, they understood they were doing it for Christ and they were able to give up something for Jesus. And they found joy in that because, listen, when someone gives up something for you, you want to give up something for them. You ever been in a place where somebody did something so wonderful for you and you felt so helpless because you couldn't do anything to really pay them back? I mean, you're just like, I want to do something for you, and I can't. He said, you took it joyfully. You were willing and glad to give up those things. I think of Acts chapter number 5, when those disciples were preaching, and they were questioned, and they were beaten, and then they were finally released. And the Bible says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter's talking about Christian suffering. And again, the context is they're suffering because they're doing something for Jesus. And he says in verse 13 of chapter 4, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy." See, here's the thing. When we are willing to be joyfully used, what's happening is instead of storing up things here, we're laying up things in heaven. And as we give up things here, we have less of a love for the things of this world, and we're just storing up things in heaven because we're living in light of eternity. We're realizing that this time, this life is so very short, but eternity's forever. Remember, that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." And then he said this, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Why does our heart sometimes have such a difficult time connecting and engaging in what God has called us to do? Because we've got too many loves here that we're not willing. And by the way, sometimes I think God will take things from us to detach that love a little bit. I was speaking to a preacher years ago when I was pastoring in Ohio, and boy, such a wonderful, godly man, and God decided to take him home. He had cancer, but he was always joyful in his last days, and I remember him telling me that. He told me that at one time. He said, "You know, they had a daughter that had died," and he said, "You know, I feel sometimes like God sometimes does take these things away so that we're not so attached to this world, so that we're finally ready to go to heaven." And he was ready. Why? Because he said, "God has just detached me from things of this world. Everything I care about is in heaven." Joyfully used. Let me give you the third thing this morning, and that is this. Let me talk to you about being patiently used. I don't really like this one, okay? I'm just telling you. I want you to notice verse number 35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Verse 36. "For ye have need of patience, that," watch this, "after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Now listen, we like to do that a little bit backwards. We want to see and then do. Lord, show me. Show me what it's going to look like. Show me what's going to happen. Show me the result. Lord, show me how that individual is going to respond when I give him the gospel. Show me that, and then I'll do it. God, show me how exactly you're going to provide as I give to missions. Lord, show me that, and then I'll do it. He says, no, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you'll see the promise. By the way, he goes in chapter 11, he talks about a ton of people who had to give first, who had to obey first, and then later they saw the promise. We talk all the time about, we hear the question sometimes, well, how do people in the Old Testament get saved? They talk about, before Jesus came. How did they get saved? Well, people in the Old Testament got saved the same way that people in the New Testament got saved, by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, today we believe and trust in what Jesus has done. They were believing in what Jesus would do. Without seeing it, they believed it. And Jesus came through with His promise. He said, ye have need of patience. Man, I know sometimes folks ask this question. Well, it says, after you've done the will of God, but what is the will of God for my life? I know sometimes that's a tough one. Now, scripturally, the Bible gives us some specific things. I ask you to write this verse down, or this passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 6. And let me just give you the breakdown of what he says here. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 6, he says, this is God's will. He said that you may abound more and more in how you ought to walk and please God. He says that if you've been taught how to please God, you've been taught how to walk with God, abound more and more. That's God's will. It's for you to keep growing and me to keep growing, to keep doing more for Jesus Christ. He says in that same passage that it's God's will for us to continue in the process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. He said it's God's will for us to abstain from immorality. It's God's will for us to honor God. Now, here's what I'm beginning at. When you do what the Bible specifically says is God's will, you're growing, you're being sanctified, you're abstaining from this thing you need to stay away from, and you're honoring God in all that you do. Listen, as you do that, as you patiently obey God, God will begin to order your steps. I love the testimony of Brother Tommy Tucker, and I'll tell you, when I first heard it, it kind of took me off guard. Tommy Tucker is a missionary to Thailand, and I remember hearing, we were asking missionaries at a missions conference to give their testimonies of how God called them, and Tommy Tucker kind of took me off guard because he said he really can't ever pin down a specific time when God called him to be a missionary. And I thought, uh-oh, okay, we need to reevaluate this thing. You need to go back for approval. Let's make, you know. But what he said was this. Of course, he knew when he got saved and then he started serving God. But he said, this is what I did. He said, I just kept serving God. I kept obeying God. I kept following God. And as I did that, God just ordered my steps. Amen. And as I kept obeying and following God, God said, here, I want you to go to Thailand. And so I went to Thailand. It wasn't some massive, moment at the altar where this just, the glory of God was shining. I mean, it was just, I just kept obeying God. Listen, folks, if all of us would just keep obeying God, God will order our steps and put us right where He wants us to be. Patiently, patiently use. Let me give you the last thing this morning, we'll be done. Last thing this morning is this, write this down. Faithfully used. Notice he says in verse number 37, for yet a little while, it's just going to be a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. He said, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or unto destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Notice what he says. He says, listen, the just has to live by faith. And he's trying to encourage them. He's saying, listen, you're tempted to turn back, but listen, that's not you. That's not who you are. That's not who we are. Listen, don't ever let the devil deceive you sometimes into saying to you and trying to convince you that, yeah, you can't do this, you can't continue, you can't serve, you can't give, you got to turn back. No, that's not you as a believer in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He says, that's not you. You're to be faithful. By the way, that's what God has called us all to do, to be faithful. God commends us, get this, listen, God commends us for our faithfulness, not necessarily our fruitfulness. God takes care of the fruit. We can't bear the fruit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Jesus bears the fruit through us. God commends us for faithfulness. to be faithful, to faithfully give, to faithfully be in the house of God, to faithfully serve, to faithfully go, to faithfully witness. As I close this up this morning, I just want to remind you that, man, the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to be used. Boy, was he used. Oh, my goodness. Go back to Acts chapter number 9, and Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he accepts Christ, and then immediately he starts preaching. You jump to Acts chapter number 13, and the Holy Spirit tells the church, hey, listen, you separate Paul and Barnabas, they're going to be missionaries. And so the church sends them out in Acts chapter number 13. In Acts chapter number 14, Paul is beaten, dragged out of the city, left for dead. He gets right back up. And by the way, right when he gets up, he goes and he tries to encourage other believers. Listen, it's going to be okay. Then you get to the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Remember what he says? He doesn't say, man, this has been misery. He said, I've fought a good fight. Boy, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid for me a crown of righteousness. He says later in that chapter, he says, listen, at the beginning, no man stood with me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He delivered me and He will deliver me. Listen, here's the deal. I realize this morning, and I hate it, there are some people that, and again, I hope I don't offend you this morning. Listen. There are some folks who, honestly, they take a vehicle and they just don't take care of it. I mean, they don't care. In fact, I was told this, a God thing. I think I told you this last time, but God supplied me with a brand new F-150 back in 2011 to this day. I don't know who supplied it. God just gave it to me. But somebody told me when I had that brand new pickup, they said, now what you need to do, you take that brand new pickup and you drive it straight through a cotton field. Just go ahead and get all the scratches on it, get all that done and over with. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. Man, some people just use and abuse vehicles, okay? It's just the way it is. Listen, God is not going to use and abuse you. God's going to take you. Listen, the Bible says the outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. God wants to take you. He wants to use you. He's going to care for you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to supply for you. And listen, in the end, from bumper to bumper, you'll be better than you ever were before. If you let God, boy, at the end of my life, I want to be able to say, I allowed God to use me to the fullest extent. There was nothing left. Allowed God to use it all. Boy, we'll rejoice forever in eternity, okay? Preacher?
Amen. That's why we have him back. I tell you, he is a good, good speaker. And had a lifetime of serving the Lord, and I appreciate everything. I want to caution you, we're going to be going to lunch.